So it's my joy to be with you and to share with you a message today that is as much about our divinity and even more so about our humanity and bringing those two together. You know, Jesus said, "You are the light of the world." You heard that one before?
Yes.
Yeah, of course you have. We say it a lot around Unity, and it's the truth. And then in the next breath, he said, what? Anybody know? You are the salt of the earth. Don't hear that one as much. And he followed that up, just in case we forgot that one, with, if the salt has lost its taste, how can it be restored? It will be thrown away and trampled underfoot. So I thought, wow, we better get our tasty saltiness back, huh? If, in case we've lost it or lost a little bit of it. When I was a little girl growing up, one of my favorite things to do was to lie in the grass, the green grass in the fall in the backyard. And the crisp, cool air, I'm from back east, so Chicago area, so you can get the feel of this. And there's something about the sun in the fall that's really special. You know, it just penetrates more deeply because the air is newly crisp. And maybe because you know winter's coming and it's just precious, that sunlight, you know? So I would have those experiences. And I remember also if I had been running around a lot, which a lot of my neighbor friends and I would do frequently, before I lay in the grass, there would be this sense that my body was still moving. Did you ever have that? Like the energy is still sort of pulsing around your energy field? And it felt as if the earth was sort of breathing in time with that pulsing energy. So there was a connection to earth and a connection to the body and a gratitude for life in those moments. You know, everything was so sweet in those moments. Yeah. So that experience at that time, I would have never called spiritual. I don't know what I would have called. It was nice. It was a wonderful experience, but I wouldn't have used the word spiritual. I went to a Lutheran church, and spirituality and religion and faith was all kind of bundled together in my mind in that hour on Sunday. And that was it. And so those things did not become more seamless to me until more recently. Whereas Peter Mayer says in his song, "Holy Now," everything is holy now. Everything becomes holy, right? When we begin to walk in this holistic way. My sister introduced me to Unity in 1991. And I came in one Sunday. She said, "How'd you like it?" And I said, "Well, it was interesting, really different." You know, we grew up in Missouri Synod, the most conservative sect of Lutheranism. You know, the flesh was weak and sinful. You did not clap in church. It was very formal, you know. Music was not really like Narayan and Janet. We got some dirgy sort of hymns going, you know. That was the experience. Although, I don't want to dismiss that experience because it was my early faith and my faith was strong and my pull. I remember once my sister saying to me, "Why do you want to go to church?" And I said, my little self, I don't know how big I wasn't very big, and I just remember like all this energy in me, and I said, "Because I have faith in God." <You know? laughs> I was like, "Woo, okay." Kind of surprised myself. So I give thanks for that church experience because it obviously supported that. But I just didn't connect those dots, you know, in the outer world so much. Just starting to really get that more and more and more as time goes on. So when I got into Unity, I was introduced to this idea that the divine is within us. Was that an aha for anyone else? Yeah, big aha, right? Some of you may have studied other religious traditions and philosophies and already got that idea or came in knowing it, but somehow that was just kind of like a, what did they say? Say what? In that Discover the Power Within You class, when they said you could be like Jesus, it was like, say what? Like Jesus? That's blasphemy. kind of interested in these folks. As a British friend of mine once said, oh, Unity, that's the happy clappy church, isn't it? Right? We own it. I said, that's right, and that's the one I fell for. So it's a whole new kind of way of being. And I also got introduced in Unity to meditation, which has just been an absolute centerpiece, foundation for me and my spirituality and my understanding and my experience of the divine and experience of ourselves as one with that divinity. So in that experience, there can be this touching and tasting. Of course, it can happen all the time, but often in that kind of quiet space, that sort of touching and tasting of an otherworldly kind of experience. Do you know what I mean? A transcendent experience of the density of this world, of the pain of this world, of the pull of gravity, of the weight of the body being pulled to gravity as we age, right? And all of that, we go, oh, wow, this like up here floating kind of experience, this blissful union of joy and peace and love. Mm-hmm. And we all long to be dwelling in that. There's a sense of home. Oh, that's my home. That's where I belong. But where is home? Is it some heavenly place in the sky? It's here. This is where we are. This is what we signed up for. As much as we might want to transcend out of it sometimes. All of it, you know, the beauty of this world, the beauty of one another. Yeah, the beauty of community. With all the two-leggeds and the rest, right? The grass and the trees and the birds and the animals and so on. All of it. And the pain and the grief that comes with that. That's part of the deal too. And if we just hang out in the ethers of that otherworldly, I want to escape place, and we can even find some pretty legitimate rationalization spiritually around that, where we say, well, I've got the view of the absolute, and this isn't really real, this world isn't really real. And so there's a kind of agreement that we all make that it's easier and more fun to just hang out in that kind of etherly kind of space, right? To move just toward that blissful experience. And to just hang out in that space for our own edification isn't what serves. So yes, we need our spiritual practice, absolutely. Please do not hear me saying that we're tossing out our divine selves and our spiritual practices. But what I do see missing in our walk, and I see like called in with a voice so loud and so powerful and so strong right now in our world in this moment, where it feels really divisive, particularly in our country, but around the world too. Anybody feeling that? A little discomfort? Anybody a little uncomfortable? Anybody been shaken out of their complacency like I have? Yeah. And I'm not talking about politics specifically in terms of kind of politics that we think of politics as partisan or anything like that. I'm talking about politics in the way that Marianne Williamson reminds us that politics comes from the root that just means people, right? Yeah. So we're just talking about values. We're just talking about taking our spiritual values, these things that we hold so close and so dear in Unity, and we touch them and we taste them and we say, yeah, that piece of joy that I just experienced, that peace that passes all understanding that I get in this moment, I want everybody in my life who I love and know to experience that, and I want everyone across the world to know that. And when we see something so counter to that, when there is violence, violence and there is separation so painfully in front of us, whether it be on the news or in front of us on the street or in our own families or in our own minds, it's really painful to be in it. So no wonder we want to bypass it and hang out somewhere else. Right? Yeah. You can say amen if you want. I'm all right with that. Meister Eckhart, the mystic, said, what we take in contemplation, we pour out in love. We can't do one and not the other. I mean, we can, but it's like stopping the flow. You know, we were not created with these forms and these hearts to just experience the divine otherworldliness and say, I'm just going to wait out my time until I can be discarding this, what we have often called a spacesuit or a set of clothes or whatever. I just discard this whole thing so I can go to my real home. Yeah. The world needs, that's right, The world needs us. God needs us. You needs you, is calling you, is asking you.
Amen.
To pray, yes. To meditate, yes. To do whatever practices bring you into that presence and that communion. And to practice the fifth principle in unity, which is action. To put feet to the prayers, to bring it out into the world. The world is hungry. It's not just hungry, it's starving.
Yes.
Right?
Yes. Yes.
As full and beautiful as it is in many ways, it is starving in another. And if we just say, I'm only dwelling in the absolute, I'm only affirming the truth, and I don't mean to be making fun, but I'm just saying we can use that to hide. We can use that as an excuse to be complacent. And I think we cannot do it anymore.
Amen.
Yeah, right? We are so asked, pushed, driven,
called
to stand up in love. To walk in love, to be these hearts that you all work so hard in, this heart math, you know, that the mathematics of the heart, the science of the heart, you got that down now. You can still do the practices that keep that strong. I'm not saying don't do the practices, but I'm saying give the practices over to the world around you. Don't hold them in for just you and your close inner circle who thinks like you. This is a time that we need to be brave enough to bring that into the places where we work, the places in our families where there's this divisiveness, all over, wherever you go, right? There you will find yourself in another form, maybe with another opinion that's different from yours. And you can choose to judge that and be a part of the separation and to make it go deeper and further and more violent and more painful and more grief-stricken, or you can step forward and in and bring it all. Bring everything that you have taken this time apart and this practice to do so that you are prepared, if you will, prepared to be that very essence of spirit in the world. Yeah, it is time. Jesus was saying it was time 2,000 years ago, but and I guess it's always time. But I personally am like awake and alive in it in a new way that I haven't been before. And maybe you are too. I hope so, because I long for community like this. I long to be a part of community like this that gets that. And that wants to stand together and work together and move together in the world, whether it's in our partnerships or in our families, to our children, to the people and the children of this community and wider, and in our everyday lives. Yeah. So where do we go from there? How about Junebug? Junebug, did you see the movie Junebug, anybody? Yeah. It's been out a while, but the main character in Junebug, she said, God loves you just the way you are and too much to let you stay that way. Preach it, right? The messages are everywhere. And so as a sacred human being, as a sacred human, what we can do to take Junebug and take that message, that simple pithy statement, gives us a how-to right there, right? We can take up our humanity in our divine arms and we can behold it, the places where we hurt, the places where we fall down, the places where we make mistakes. And we can hold that in this just sort of mother love kind of way that the Spirit gives to us as well. And we can behold that human aspect of ourselves, and we can do what God did in Genesis when he called it what? Good. Yeah. Call it good, because it is, because you are. It's all good. It's all good. The messiness, the mistakes, all the human emotions, the stuff that's out there that I just named in the world, it's all good. It's all for good. It's all to be loved into and with that divine knowing within us so it can be healed. Yeah. So Junebug says, love. God loves you just the way you are, so that's the way we're going to love ourselves and each other, just the way we are, and too much to let you stay that way, right? And so that second part is the becoming, right? It's the edge that we have. And I'm suggesting to you today that one of the edges we have is reclaiming our humanity and elevating it to its rightful place. Not dismissing it, not dismissing the body, not dismissing the human experience as not real, but saying, this is real too. My mental and emotional and physical being is as real as my spiritual being. And grounding those divine thoughts, those divine ideas that tend to feel like they come from up above into the human experience. And then beaming it out. Right? Radiating it out. Like that radiating mind that we talked about earlier, sung about earlier. Yeah, so that's part of the walk. You know, my favorite scriptures, the ones that really touch me deeply sometimes, besides the ones that stir us in inspiration, but the ones that really get me are the ones that are very humanizing. The shortest sentence in the Bible, he wept, refers to Jesus when his friend Lazarus had died. He wept. And he wept all the while knowing that he was about to raise him from the dead. Yes. How about that? Yes. He knew the absolute truth. He knew the reality of what was going on in terms of the divine understanding, the divine perception of what is true. And he permeated that into the raising of Lazarus. But before he did that, he wept. Because his compassion and his love and his grief and his love for this world and his love for his brother Lazarus and his love for his other brothers and sisters that were close to him and his love for all humanity and all life was so real and human and grounded and a part of this density of the physical world that he wept like we do. When we lose someone we love. And we can lose someone we love all the while knowing that their soul is on a journey that's just a fabulous next dimension of expression and form. But we do it too, don't we?
Yes.
Yeah. So what did Jesus do? He grieved and he praised. And that is a pointer for us. For what do you grieve? What do you grieve in the world? Just take a moment to consider that, reflect upon that. What really gets you? What weighs on you? Maybe it's an issue, a cause, a group, you know, maybe it's really grieve homelessness, or really grieve racial divisions, or really grieve whatever it is. The earth, state of being of the earth. So that's a pointer to where you are being called to help, if you aren't already. Maybe you already know. And what do you praise? What are you really grateful for? What do you just go, oh yeah, I love that. I love that experience. I love how that is in life. I just love that so much when I, what? Whatever it is. I love water so much. I love to go swimming so much. I love the beauty of the light on the water. And, you know, just what is it that you just, yeah, it's always a yeah. Whatever that is a pointer to what your fuel is in this world. It's a pointer to what your vision is, what you want to co-create with Spirit. So we bring together that which we love and praise, and praising makes that greater, right? It's an exponential experience. When we praise something, when we give thanks for something, we multiply that goodness. And that which we grieve, that just brings us to our knees, that just brings us to that break your heart open kind of experience. Because that's what a broken heart is. It's about a broken open heart, a wider heart, a heart that is bigger. So that whatever pain we might have seen or experienced that felt like it was, you know, maybe filling our hearts and overwhelming our hearts, as our hearts get bigger and broken wide open, that pain comes down to like a little pea size, you know, because there's more space, there's more love, there's more of that energy moving through us. So I want to just tell you one story of somebody, a story I had heard that I told in the, I told the story in the last service about a woman whose husband actually told the story at a seminar I was at. And he told the story about his wife who practices the Sikh religion. Some may know it as Sikh, but I've been told by Sikhs that it's actually Sikh, S-I-K-H. And she was wearing a head covering, and they were at the grocery store. And she was in the produce section, and he was nearby getting nuts or something in the bulk area. And he said this other woman came up to his wife, and she began spewing all kinds of hatred. You know, just, you're not, you don't belong in this country. What are you doing here? You know, just on and on and on. And it was horrible. And everybody was just kind of frozen watching, you know. And he's looking over at his wife, and he's thinking, whoa, I'm going to go, you know, help out here. And he said he stopped in his tracks about halfway, and he said to himself, she's got this. Because what he saw was she was standing there, her potty posture was open, her face was as radiant as it always is, and this woman who's standing right there, spewing all this stuff at her, she was just there. Holding space. Talk about not taking it personally, right? She got one of those four agreements down. And she looked at the other woman and she said, I love you. And the woman's hatred continued, but it kind of came down a bit. And so she went on and said more. And this woman said, again, I love you. And then it kind of went down and got a little softer, still was hateful. And one more time, she said, I love you. And the other woman began to sob. Hatred can't live in that light. Thank God, that's right. And that light is not reserved only for those who are supposedly enlightened, but it is reserved for all of us who are in process, who have moments of awakening along the way, right? And so our work is to bring it, bring that love, take a stand for that love, be the boots on the ground that are really grounded here on earth, know that this is our home, have owned that this is our home, have recognized that when we've glimpsed that immense spirit, you know, that powerful human essence, and thought, oh, it's so tiny in this little body packed in here, to realize how magnificent it is to radiate it out. And we all can do it. And we all will do it as sacred human beings. We're called to be that. We must be that. Are you in?
Yes.
Yeah, me too. And my greatest hope is to be in it with you. Let's close out with an affirmation. Or two, actually. Together, I am the salt of the earth. And I have not lost my saltiness. That one's got to be said with a little attitude. So let's try it again. I am the salt of the earth. And I have not lost my saltiness. And we are sacred humans embodying the love of spirit on earth. And so it is.
Amen.